We're going to be in Revelation chapter 6. And four horsemen, seven seals, one lamb. And let me pray for us and we'll get started. It is, Father God, I just want to give you thanks and praise. Lord, you are so good. It is delicious for the brothers to live together here in harmony. And Lord God, I just pray right now that you would continue to woo our hearts. You are our bridegroom. You are the lover of our souls. Continue to draw us close to you. Woo us, O Lord God, by your Spirit. And we ask that in Jesus' name. And all God's kids said,
amen.
Amen. So I just want to start off today. We're in the book of Revelation. We've been in the book of Revelation. But before we get there, I want to show you a little picture here. I thought I have a slideshow of me and my girl from Ipanema, we're walking. That's my little girl from Ipanema, my wife there. Actually, we had been visiting Ipanema Beach, and we'd been on Copacabana, and we were there. That was our 10th wedding anniversary. That's Sugarloaf Mountain there behind us. But right next to that picture, you see me in front of Christ the Redeemer, Cristo Redentor, on the top of El Corcovado, which means Hunchback Mountain, there overlooking Rio. And everybody that goes to Rio wants to get up there and see that. So we took that little picture there on the left. We took that picture on the way up. It's a pretty high mountain. And when we get up there, we had come from this perfectly beautiful blue sky day, and we get up there, and it's covered with a cloud. And I was so bummed. I was trying to take a picture of me in front of Cristo Redentor, you know, this 90-foot, 700-ton statue. And there's a cloud obstructing Christ. And I was so bummed. I was literally bummed. And like, ugh. And right then, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, Rick, you always have access to my face. And I just started weeping. I'm about to cry right now even thinking about it because it was such a powerful moment. I started crying there and I was having to wipe my eyes so I could get my picture. And why do I share that with you? It's been 88 years since Cristo Redentor was put up there. And just like this picture, many of you come to the book of Revelation and you're just like, there it is. It's this big statue, this inanimate object. I'm going to get a little selfie with it, and I'll just go about my day. We treat the Word of God as like this statue, when it's actually like the Spirit of God, which spoke to my heart and broke my heart right then and told me, you have access to my face always. In this book that we're about to get into, you have access to God's face, and he's telling you what is coming for our church. Do not come in here today wanting to catch just a selfie and head on out, and your life is not changed. This is a supernatural book. It is an otherworldly book. There's no book on earth like this book. The Bible is supernatural. Read it that way. Here's three reasons why you need to read the Bible in a supernatural way. It's number one, seeing the glory of the Lord is not merely with our ordinary physical eyes, but with the quote unquote eyes of the heart. We see that in Ephesians 1 verse 18. Having the eyes of our hearts enlightened that we may know the hope. You need to have your spiritual eyes on so you can know the hope that we have that's being declared to us in the book of Revelation. Also, and it comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The same Spirit that said, you have access to my face, Rick, is the same one that's speaking to us now. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Number two, experiencing the glory of the Lord is no ordinary human pleasure, but it is Christ's own joy that we would do this, experienced as our own by the presence of his Spirit. In John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus said this, these things I have said to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy would be full. Jesus is speaking this book to us so that his joy would be in us and our joy would be overflowing. And we're going to need that joy in this chapter 6 that we're about to look at. And number 3, our transformation, our spiritual transformation is not just a self-improvement plan. Like, here, let me catch a selfie. Oh, man, it's going to look great on my Facebook page. No. You need a transformation. And it's brought about, like it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. This book changes you. Today, you need to let it change you and change your perspective. We're going to look at some scary stuff. But who is giving us the information here? Who is holding the scroll? It's Jesus, the one who gives you access to his face. He's the one holding the scroll. Let's look at Revelation 5:8. And it says, and when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. That's proof that Jesus is worthy of worship. Jesus is God. The living creatures and the elders, they fall down and they worship him. The living creatures in Ezekiel that worship God said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They're here worshiping the Lamb. Jesus is God. Okay? And each is holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. You guys just filled up a big old bowl before service started. Y'all filled a big bowl of prayer. Wasn't it awesome? It's delicious. It's delicious. And it's Jesus, the Lamb of God, holding that scroll. He's the one. He's saying, look at my face. Look to me. This scroll that he's holding, it's the history and destiny of the world. It's the deed, if you will, of the world. And Jesus is the only one who's able then to open it. So we're coming to Jesus. He's the one that's holding that scroll. Now, we're going to be looking at the seven seals of Revelation. You can check this out. Now, the first four are famous. Four horsemen. Everybody has heard of the four horsemen. Back in the day, the University of Notre Dame had four running backs, and they called them the four horsemen. You know, it's a literary thing that's so famous that you don't even have to say, oh, it's in the book of Revelation. Four horsemen. Everybody knows it, right? Then you have the last three seals, which are just cosmic chaos. That's the only way I can describe it. Just things going crazy. So let's get right into it. In Revelation 6, verse 1, it says, at the same time that I saw the Lamb open the first of the seven seals. Now, I'm using a little bit of a different translation. And the reason I'm doing it is because the way they translate the word come. Yeah, but we'll get there in a second. So at the same time that I saw the Lamb open the first of the seven seals, I heard one of the four living creatures shout with a voice like thunder, and it said, come out. Now, in your Bibles, many of you will have just come. But it's a word that's translated, it's like, come out of there and get going. Come on out and get going. And so I like this translation to come out, because it's bringing something to send out. Okay? And then I saw a white horse. Its rider carried a bow and was given a crown. He had already won some victories, and he went out to win more. Now, what do we see here? What's this rider on the white horse carrying? The white horse was like a charger, and the Romans used white horses for the generals to ride, because when the army's charging forward, if you're in the middle of the battle and you look and that white horse is moving forward, you're moving forward. If things don't go well and that white horse starts heading backwards, well, you better head backwards as well. So he's got this white horse to go and conquer. And what else? He's got a bow. Now, he has a bow, and here you have a guy with a bow, but he has no arrows. And what's interesting is the word toxon, translated bow here, is in other places actually translated rainbow. Now, some people have made the point that the first time you see the rainbow is when God makes the promise to Noah that he will not destroy the earth again with water. And so many people have made the case that this rider is riding out with a promise. with a pact, and that he's going to be able to make a pact with the Jewish people to get their temple rebuilt. And then 3.5 years after that is rebuilt, he's going to set himself up in the middle of the temple, declare himself God, and then their eyes are going to be opened. They'll realize that they crucified Jesus, the true Messiah, and that guy is the Antichrist. The Antichrist will get furious and try to kill them all, and they'll run away to the rock city of Petra. So many people believe that this is the rainbow, that he's carrying a pound in with him, okay? And then he also has a crown. This crown that it's talking about is the Stephanos crown. It is the laurel that the Olympic runners would win. They'd win. It's not a golden crown like the ones that we see earlier that we get and we throw them before the feet of the Lamb, okay? This is the Stephanos, and it's a laurel. It's for a brief victory, okay? So this rider is going to have some brief victories. He's going to go out to win. Now, there are some people that want to say that this is actually Jesus, but I don't believe this Jesus at all, because Jesus is getting bowed down to by the living creatures who are calling out and sending out this rider. So I know a guy who actually has a tattoo of this rider, and he says it's Jesus, and I was like, that's a bummer of a tattoo, pal. You know, no regrets. It's not a good one. Not a good one. So that is the first rider. Let's look at the second rider here in Revelation chapter 6, verse 3. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come out." Then another horse came out. It was fiery red, and its rider was given the power to take away all peace from the earth so that people would slaughter one another. He was also given a big sword. So, obviously, it wasn't Jesus in the white horse, because that peace was not permanent. That peace did not last. And when Jesus gives peace, it's going to last. Okay, so this was not Jesus. So this rider has gone out. And let's take a look at what's going on with this guy. Fiery red, it speaks of burning. It speaks of a conflagration. And literally, fire is going to be lit. He has a big sword. And this whole picture reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus said, "I did not come to bring peace to the earth, but a sword." He says, "Oh, there's going to be a fire lit. And oh, how I wish it was burning now." Jesus came to split families. Mother against daughter, father against son. This split was going to come, because when it comes down to Jesus, either you are with him or you are not. And that's what's happening. And I believe the fire that he was talking about to be lit is what we're going to talk about here in a minute. It's called I was reading about a guy named Joel Richardson has a book called The Ministry of Catastrophe. And when there is catastrophe in the Bible, you see a turning to God. And when there's catastrophe in your life, you turn to God. Right now in Bolivia, we're going to look at that in a second here too. In Bolivia, my wife's home country, there is turmoil. But people are praying and united like you cannot believe. In every street corner, they're praying. So it's that ministry of catastrophe. So what do we see? That he has the ability to take away all peace from the earth. And people will slaughter one another. This is a bad time. And people are actually afraid in Bolivia that there's going to be a slaughter to get the president, Evo Morales, to finally get out of there. And this whole thing is being set up. Now, the things that are going on right now in the world, it's not that any of these seals have been opened. There was a movie in the 80s called The Seventh Sign, or The Seven Signs, and it was with Demi Moore, and I used to have a crush on her back then, and it was a kind of a horrible movie, but in that movie, there was this Catholic priest, and he was going around the world, and he would go and see, oh, the rivers are blood, and he'd crack this seal and he'd throw it out there, and oh, you know, this is happening, he'd crack the seal and he'd throw it out there, and he was kind of, you know, saying that, oh, I'm observing these seals have been broken, and therefore, you know, that's not how it works, okay? Jesus is the one that's opening the seals, and these things that we see in play right now, these are birth pangs. These are the contractions that are waking everybody up, because the time frame is going to be short. When these seals begin to be broken, it's going to be extremely fast. So I want to show you just by way of example, in the Guardian newspaper this week, they had this article that said about 41% of the global population are under 24 and they're angry. The article reads like this: this global phenomenon of unfulfilled youthful aspirations is producing political time bombs. Each month in India, 1 million people turn 18 and can register to vote. More people than ever before have access to education. They are healthier. They appear less bound by social conventions and religion. Think about that. This angry mob, they don't hold to the social mores that you have been raised in. They don't hold to the religion that you've been raised in. And they're ripe for an antichrist to give them a new religion and a new social more. It says they are mutually aware and their expectations are higher. That's because thanks to social media, the ubiquity of English as a common tongue and internet's globalization and democratization of information, younger people from all backgrounds and locations are more open to alternative life choices, more attuned to universal rights, norms such as free speech and living wage, and are less prepared to accept their denial. They have a common tongue. Where do we see that in the Bible? Babel. Babel. And what did God say about their common tongue? There's nothing that will stop them. That's why God went and confused their language. So these things are in play. The chess pieces are on the board, if you will. Okay? So when this starts to happen, it will happen quickly. All right? Revelation 6, verse 5, when the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come out!" Then I saw a black horse, and its rider had a balanced scale in one hand. I heard what sounded like a voice from somewhere among the four living creatures. It said, "A quart of wheat will cost a whole day's wages. 3 quarts of barley will cost you a day's wages too. But don't ruin the olive oil or the wine." So what do we see here? Black is death. It's mourning. It's a sadness. He's holding the scales. This can have a couple different meanings. There's definitely going to be a difference in the price of things. Scarcity will be the earmark of this time, but it's not going to be scarcity for all, because I also believe that the scales speak of injustice. Right now, even in my wife's country of Bolivia, injustice is making people furious. They see a president with an eighth grade education who comes and gets elected on an anti-American sentiment. He's now one of the richest guys in all of South America. He flies in a helicopter to and from work. The flights cost $2,000 each. He's got a multi-million dollar private jet. And this guy is floating the economy of Bolivia on a sea of narco dollars. Cocaine is flying out of Bolivia like it's never done before. So the economy's great. But at what cost? And people are seeing the injustice of it, and they're saying, "No more!" And they're rising up. And these things are rising up all over the earth. We're seeing uprisings in Chile. We're seeing uprisings in Iraq and Lebanon, Hong Kong, Barcelona. I could keep going on. India too. There are uprisings all over the earth because injustice is the rule of the day. And one of the things that we're seeing, especially in South America, is they have this thing called the Foto of Sao Paulo, which is a plan for all of the socialists to take power in South America. And their plan is that as soon as the socialists take power in every single nation state, that they just rob everybody and then put the poor under their thumb. Injustice. You know, a dictatorship of those in power. It's going to be a hard thing. And that's what happens here. We see this horseman going out, and that's the long and short of it. But it says, don't hurt, don't ruin the oil, the olive oil or the wine. That gives you a hint. See, the rich, they're still going to have olive oil and wine. The rich are still going to get theirs, but it's going to be the poor that are going to get crushed. So I want to take a look here real quick at how the seals, all six seals, parallel very well Jesus' Olivet Discourse. In the first seal, we see that there was a white horse and a fake Christ riding out. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. In the second seal, we saw that the red horse came out, took away peace, and brought war and slaughter. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 6 and 7, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Then in the third seal, we see that when it was opened, there was a black horse, and injustice, death, mourning came out. And Jesus said in Luke 21, 11, there will be great earthquakes and famines. There's going to be scarcity. There's going to be a shakeup of the order of things. Now, if you want to see in one picture a graph that clearly shows inequality, take a look at this. This graph, the green line is the bottom 50% of income earners. That would be me. And the orange line would be the top 1% of income earners. The top 1% in the United States is going way up, and the bottom 50 is going way down, inverted. And this is all over the world. This is not just the United States, but if it's happening in the United States, you know it's happening everywhere. So, let's keep moving on. In Revelation 6, verse 7, when the Lamb opened the fourth seal, fourth horseman coming out, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come out. Then I saw a pale green horse. Its rider was named Death, and Death's kingdom followed behind. They were given power over one-fourth of the earth, and they could kill its people with swords, famines, diseases, and wild animals. Death's kingdom came. Death is coming. Death's will be done in this time. Not good. Interestingly enough, when Genghis Khan, when he rode out and began to attack and tear up the world, he actually accounted for the death of one-tenth of the world's population at the time. Genghis Khan led all those Mongols out. They raided India, Europe, all the way from China all the way to Europe. And they killed one-tenth of the world's population. Didn't even come close to 25%. In the Black Plague of Europe, it only got to 1390ths. I tried to lower it down. I was rendering it down. 75 million people died out of 450 million, but it didn't come close to 25% of the population of Europe. 25% of the world's population. There's 8 billion people, 2 billion are going to die. Like that. 2 billion. In one fell swoop. Boom. They're not going to just die by the sword. They're going to die by sword, famine, diseases, wild animals. It's going to be a horrific thing. And you see that you had religion. The white horse, that's very clearly a religious move. You see politics, the red horse, kingdom against kingdom. You see the livelihood of people, very clearly the black horse. And now you see the health of people, the green horse going forth. These are going to be very, very hard times on the earth. Now, we're going to open the fifth seal now. Revelation 6:9 says this. When the Lamb opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of everyone who had been killed for speaking God's message, telling about their faith. They shouted, "Master, who killed us?" Then each of those who had been killed was given a white robe and told to rest a little while. They had to wait until the complete number of the Lord's other servants and followers would be killed. Now, interestingly enough, so you have these beings underneath the altar in heaven. This is an allusion to Leviticus 4:7, where it says that he shall pour out the remaining blood, the priest would pour out the remaining blood at the base of the altar of burnt offering. It's an offering unto the Lord. Now, what's interesting here is that they're crying out for vengeance, that God would avenge them. And it's not wrong. They're in heaven and they're doing this, and they don't get rebuked for doing this. When Cain killed Abel, God said to Cain, "His blood is crying out to me for vengeance, for justice." So this is okay. Now, the way this is translated, it says, the translators put in, they had to wait until the complete number of the Lord's other servants or followers would be killed. It's translated like that. That's an add-in. It's actually supposed to be, they had to wait until the full number, until they had to wait until it was complete. Now, you could say that they had to wait until the people on earth were completed. This is that ministry of catastrophe. I'd like to suggest, this is my take on it, but I'd like to suggest that ministry of catastrophe during this time when what has been restraining evil on the earth is removed. That's the church. You know, I told you about that photo of Sao Paulo, which was the plan to bring in socialism all over South America. Well, Bolsonaro in Brazil wrecked that plan, and the guy who put that plan in play, Lula da Silva, is in jail because Bolsonaro, who's a Christian, and the evangelicals in Brazil thwarted that plan. It's restraining. But once what is restraining is removed, evil's going to go hog wild. No offense to our Arkansans here. So it is going to be, it's going to be a heyday for evil when what is restraining is removed. And so these martyrs that are under here, these are people that are being martyred for the testimony of the Lord on the earth. These are guys that are still on the earth. They didn't get raptured. They played around. They just got the selfie with Cristo Redentor, Christ the Redeemer, instead of making Christ their Redeemer. See what I'm saying? They knew about it. All of Brazil knows about it. This big statue, Cristo Redentor, Christ your Redeemer, is standing over them, but they won't come to him. He's just a big statue, and he's not the real living God. So, very quickly, let me show you the parallels again of Jesus' Olivet Discourse and the seals. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, death and Hades went out. Jesus says in Luke 21:11 and Matthew 24:8 that there will be famines and pestilences, plagues in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Fifth seal. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw on the altar the souls of those who had been slain. Jesus says this in Matthew 24:9-22. He says this, "Then you will be handed over to and persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. For then there will be great distress, great tribulation, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened." I believe that Jesus, when he was saying this, he's standing there in Jerusalem, surrounded by Jews. And he's prophesying over them because he knew there were only 120 that were in the upper room that got filled with the Spirit. He fed 5,000. He fed 4,000. He did miracles that books can't even contain the number. There were so many hundreds of thousands of people, Jews, that received a message, received a blessing, and did not come to Christ. They got the selfie with Cristo Redentor, but they didn't bring him into their heart. And I believe that Jesus is prophesying to them, you will face this. It's going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. And the ministry of catastrophe is going to fill the altar underneath. It's an amazing picture. the parallels that you see in these seals being opened and what Jesus has already said. And these seals, this is being done. John is watching this happen. He's witnessing it. The church is there witnessing it, praising God every time because they were counted worthy to be saved from it. What an amazing, amazing picture. So we get to Revelation 6, verse 12. It says, "When I saw the Lamb open the sixth seal, I looked and saw a great earthquake. The sun turned as dark as sackcloth, and the moon became as red as blood. The stars in the sky fell to earth, just like figs shaken loose by a windstorm. Then the sky was rolled up like a scroll, and all the mountains and islands were moved from their places." When my wife and I used to live in Bolivia, we had an avocado tree. And South American avocados are like this big. They're not like the Haas avocados. They're huge. And one time I parked my truck underneath the tree, and the wind blew and dropped like 10 avocados on my truck and made big old dents in my truck. So when I think of the little figs falling, I'm like, that's not so scary. But man, you think about a big old avocado, like, and boom, 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 just dropping avocados everywhere. Holy guacamole. That's a scary thing right there. But John's not speaking in scientific terms. He's just speaking in things that he's seen, things that he can understand. He's trying to make you understand. It's going to be just very dark, scary, things falling. Shit, things are going to get shook up, okay? Cosmic disruptions. And when the sky gets rolled up like a scroll and all the mountains and islands get moved from their places, the ministry of catastrophe is going to make men's hearts melt like wax. And there will be many that will cry out to God. Because guys, when everything that you know is in danger, you should turn to the Lord. But here's what we'll see, because the Holy Spirit is not in the world at this time convicting the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. It's been removed. That which restrains has been taken out of the earth. So in verse 15, look what it says. "The kings of the earth, its famous people, and its military leaders, hid in caves or behind rocks on the mountains. They hid there together with the rich and the powerful and with all the slaves and free people, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come. Who can stand?" These people, listen to their words. Listen to their words. It's from the wrath of the Lamb who's sitting on the throne. The great day of their wrath has come. They know who it is to all people. They've been given the gospel. It's been preached to all people. And then the time came, whoom, the church went out. The Bible says when that time of the Gentiles, when the last Gentile has heard the gospel, they're gone. And then all of this ministry of catastrophe begins. And they know who it is who's coming. They're not going, "Oh my gosh, it's aliens." They're not. They're saying, "It's the Lamb who was slain. He's coming. Fall on us mountains. Mother Earth, save us." Yeah. Right now in Bolivia, the president of Bolivia, he was the first indigenous Indian to be elected president. So there was a lot of celebration about it. But he does witchcraft, an incantation to the Pachamama, the Mother Earth, every day in the White House of Bolivia. Every day. He removed all the Bibles from every school and did not permit the teaching of it. He tried down to preach the gospel, but the people rose up and put that down. He's an evil man. And my wife, bless her heart, she wakes up every day in her heart. She's like, "Oh my gosh, what's happening?" And she's getting on her phone. Everybody is posting live things that are happening because the communications are all owned by the evil president. But you can't thwart the truth. And all the Christians, I could show you videos of Christians getting around in every street corner praying out loud, declaring that Jesus Christ is king. And they've been on a civic strike. Nothing is moving in the entire nation of Bolivia. They've been on a civic strike for many days now. And people are not able to go to work. People are not able to get food. And many people are beginning to say, gosh, how long is this going to go? I mean, let's just go back to work and let's just eat. Even my wife was saying, I feel so sorry for these people. They don't have anything to eat. I mean, the strike's not working. I mean, they need to just try something else. And Karen's brothers are coming back to her and they're saying, we have to band together. We have to stand up for what's right now. We have to fight. We have to decide in our minds right now. We're not going to let evil things start happening. You have to make that decision right now. Before these birth pains start happening, you have to make that decision right now, or you're going to be the one that says, it's not going to work. You know, I might as well just take the chip. I might as well, you know, just give in to evil. I might as well just do something else because this is suffering. The people in Bolivia are saying, I don't have bread. They said, doesn't matter. Just get a little, get your flour and, you know, just fry it up and just eat that. Or go and ask your neighbor. And the people are coming together and they're helping one another. Where one eats, two can eat. Where two eat, three can eat. Where three eat, four can eat. Just a little sacrifice. But you've got to make up your mind before it happens. Because if you wait till then, you're going to be weak. That's why you have access to Christ's face. That's why this word is spoken to you right now. You have got to read this and be transformed in your mind by it. Let the Holy Spirit enlighten your eyes. Make up your mind right now. And it's funny because the political party is called Movimiento al Socialismo, Más, more, right? Movement towards socialism is the political party. And the people that are saying, we need to stop this civic strike, they're like, you're a masista. No seas masista. Don't be a masista. Don't be a this of that political party of the president. Be strong. I know it's getting long and I'm about to finish up, but you know, don't be a masista, you know? I want things to say, come on, you can do it. We need to be strong. We need to be together. We need to be united. We need to be united like never before. Do not forsake the gathering of the brethren while you see these things coming. Make it an excuse to get together more. Not less. Don't get busier. Get less busy. Maybe we need a civic strike. Maybe we need an electronic strike. Maybe we need a television strike. A fast. Decide in your mind now. Let the Spirit of God speak to you in this. So I'm going to finish up with this. I'm going to skip my two of the last stands, the parallels of what Jesus said on the Mount of Olives and the sixth seal. I'm just going to go to this. Who is able to stand? Who is able to stand? Only the believer can stand before this great day of judgment. One who is justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Part A there. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access. We have access to his face by faith into this grace in which we stand. Romans 5, 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 15, 1. I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you now stand. You stand in it. 1 Peter 5, 12. Testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. Brothers and sisters, a martyr, those martyrs that were underneath the altar there, a martyr is not marked by his death. A martyr is marked by his life. What kind of life are we living as a witness? Martyr means, it's martyrion. It means a witness. What kind of life are you living? Are you standing? Can they tell that your walk is a godly walk? And will you stand on that day? You have to make up your mind right now that you want to stand. And by God's grace, you will stand because he's powerful to make you to stand. But you've got to seek his face. You cannot seek the selfie. It's selfish. Seek his face. You have access to it. The final seal goes like this. Revelation 7:1. Seventh seal. We made it. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, that no wind might blow on earth or sea or against any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And then after that, he goes and he names 144,000 people from every tribe of Israel. So it's Jews that are going to be sealed at this time, 144,000 of them. It's interesting that it says that they're not going to let them harm the earth or the sea or any tree. When those four horsemen, they did a lot of harm to earth and sea and tree. So how is it possible? And what's going on? Are we going back in time? I mean, what's going on here? I personally believe, this is my opinion, in the Exodus, if you read in the book of Exodus, when God started dropping plagues on Egypt, he made a distinction between the Egyptians and the Jews. Even to the point when he dropped darkness on Egypt where you couldn't see, in the land of Goshen, there was light. You were standing in darkness if you were on the Egyptian side, and you step into Goshen, it's light. He made a distinction between those who are his. And these are marked as his, 144,000 marked as his. I believe that the ministry of catastrophe has worked. These guys are ready. They're going to be sealed by the Lamb of God, and they're going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists that the Antichrist can't touch them. They are 144,000 Jewish Rambos, man, with the gospel, going and getting after it. Getting after it. So I believe that just like in the Exodus, there's going to be a distinction in the world that you will be able to see that God loves his people, and those who are with him are saved from that. Okay? So, that's a lot. But we have access right now. Right now, by the Holy Spirit. You tasted a little bit of it before I started talking, and hopefully as you go out of here today, you'll continue to savor that delicious fellowship of the Holy Spirit, fellowship with one another, and that these words will encourage you that he who holds the scroll that's going to set off all these things, he said, "Seek my face." And hopefully like David, you answer, "Your face, O Lord, I will seek." Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God,